coming into Romans chapter 9. If you took Romans 1 through 8, had a summary maybe of what the message was that you could put your soul into and say, boy, this is good news from Christ. Perhaps would be this from my friend Alistair Begg. Your standing with God is all in the righteousness of Christ. So you think of how great the Lord is. You want to put yourself in His care for today, for salvation, for the troubles of your soul, for the sins of your life. You're standing with God. How you're going to be with Him, at peace or not at peace, is all in the righteousness of Christ. Somebody put it this way. I like this, the way they put it. Be very impressed by the blood, sweat, and tears of Jesus. Don't be so impressed by your blood, sweat, and tears. Okay, God is very sympathetic to those, that's for sure. But your blood, sweat, and tears doesn't get you to heaven. Your blood, sweat, and tears doesn't give you goodness before God. Okay, it's Jesus' blood, sweat, and tears at the cross in Gethsemane, okay, that gives us what we need. He come on a rescue mission from us. So that's a very important thing. Big key in the book of Romans. John Wesley loved Romans. He said when he read parts of it, his heart was strangely warmed. And then we have Blaise Pascal, mathematician, getting very excited about the Lord, what the Lord meant to him. He said he had his testimony on his coat, you know. So you get a coat and you put your testimony in there. Bar these words: fire, certainty, feeling, joy, and peace. You know, young people, if you're here, when's the last time you went to a math class and the teacher said, fire, certainty, joy, and peace? You know, you think, oh man, what happened to him or her? But he was excited about the Lord, and we are thankful. What God does for us, Romans 1 through 11. We respond, chapters 12 and so forth. But Romans 9 is very important. Leaves us amazed at God and silent in worship. Not many people have Romans 9 as one of their favorite chapters in the Bible. Most of the time it was not for me, but I love God's truth. I was going to ask, you know, how many love the teaching of God's election for salvation? How many? You kind of think about that every day and you're thinking, oh, this is fantastic. It keeps me rolling. Put that hand up. I knew it. One renegade in the bunch. But I know that's the truth. Happens to be the truth about that young fellow right there. But it has to do with Connie's testimony, as she said, well, God's history in her life, you know. Attending church for 32 years. She began attending at age five, and now there it is. See, God works over time, you see. Has a plan and the doctrine of election. But very important, the word's used 23 times in the Bible. So we learn to trust God in what we can't understand, but we know He's good, He's faithful, He's true. So this could be an anchor for your soul when the rest of your soul gives way, as an old song says. And so election simply, God is sovereign. That is, He will give the verdict over the salvation and damnation of sinners. Very, very humbling thing Jesus would teach us. He said, fear God, who can throw body and soul into hell. So the gift of heaven, from God. Hell itself, from God. And our eyes are upon Him for His mercy and help. John MacArthur said about election, there's no reason to believe in the election other than the Bible teaches it. And he said, election is disgusting to the unsaved heart. And sometimes to a Christian, we say, I don't understand it. I don't like it. It bothers me. God has so much, you know, say and so much power. What about, you get it? What about me? Well, what about you? We know, and you and I know what we're capable of. So we cast ourselves on the mercy of God. We're challenged to leave our salvation in somebody else's hands. Wasn't that the thief on the cross, you know? Oh, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I'm going to leave my salvation in somebody else's hands. Jesus, be my Savior. I'll leave my salvation in Jesus' hands. I certainly can't do it myself. And so some things that may help your soul as you look at Romans 9, and remember the first time I did a study or preaching through Romans, I just skipped chapters 9 and 11. I said, oh, impossible. You know, there's nothing, I can't get anything helpful for God's dear people out of that. But election will help you worship God more. Boy, he has a plan bigger than I thought. Gets you out of fighting with God so much. You trust him. You know, you trust what you cannot control. There's a serenity in that, right? Give me the ability to trust what I can't control. You can't trust God. I mean, you can't control God, so you might as well trust him, right? Can't control God, so we're called to trust. Give us devotion, not debate. We're in awe of him, and we're grateful and not grumbling. Paul starts off in this by saying, well, what about these Jewish folks? You know, I think about them a lot. I was raised in the Jewish faith. And what about these Jewish folks? And a good answer that you could give your friends, what about the Jewish folks? Give the answer Paul gave. He said, well, they gave us the Bible, and they gave us Jesus in terms of his human ancestry. That's pretty good. I like those Jewish people, see. All the writers were Jewish in the Bible, and of course, Jesus born into that promised group there. He's God who became God the Son in birth. So gave us the Bible, gave us Jesus in his human ancestry. And then Paul says pretty personally, he said, boy, you know, this is really something. He said, I'd almost rather be cursed than to see any of my people that I really care about be cursed. What's he's saying pretty much, if we look at eternity, I'd rather go to hell than some of the people in my life, the Jewish people who I love, than to see anybody go to hell. That's pretty incredible. That's a lot of love. You know, you could close your eyes and think, would we be ever be put in that boat? You know, okay, who would I be willing to go to hell for? We had the Brandon Kerr sing in a fellowship group, to march into hell for a heavenly cause. The man who wrote the song, you know, he understood. Maybe he was thinking of the cross. Who knows? But to say, okay, I want somebody else to meet Christ very badly, you see. And would you, maybe some people you love, you'd do that. How about anybody else in the church here? Well, not so much. Maybe one or two who I like. How about strangers? Nah. How about murderers? Definitely not. And you know what? We don't have to do that because Jesus said, I'll go to hell for the heavenly cause. I'll take the wrath of God at the cross, you know, for the ones who I don't want to see perish. Even Moses had that thought. The Israelites were rebelling, and God said, I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses said, oh, Lord, please don't wipe them out. If you wipe them out, take my name out of your book also. That's, ask God to give you a heart like that for people who don't know Christ. Lord, if they don't know Christ, you know, I shouldn't know Christ by myself. I just want to see them be at peace with you. So a lot of good things in election that God is doing. He gives three examples, and we'll go 5 minutes extra, being we do like to be together in worship. God chooses Isaac over Ishmael, Jacob over Esau, and Moses over Pharaoh. He really doesn't pass these guys up on the right. Those fellows receive from God justice and fairness. Justice and fairness for what they did. Ishmael, Esau, Pharaoh. Okay. They were in rebellion against God throughout their life. And so God said, I'm going to treat you fairly. I'm going to give you justice. Nobody would say, well, that you, God, you're not fair. He's fair all the time. Okay, and we could be in sympathy with them. Of course, God's mercy was on them every day. But if you watch the movie of the Ten Commandments, you know, there's probably not too many when the people were wiped out and Pharaoh lost his power, as it were. We didn't say, oh, you know, I feel so bad for Pharaoh. He was such a great guy. No, he wasn't. And so Isaac and Jacob and Moses, did they deserve God's favor? Did they deserve God's grace? Did God look down and say, you know, that Jacob, you know, he's growing up real good. He doesn't lie and he doesn't swindle anybody. And I'm going to give him heaven, you know. No, he says, before he was born or had a chance to do good or bad, he says, I'm going to get that guy and I'm going to bring him to myself. And God was merciful to Moses, too. So the guilt that each has, you and I, and some get justice, that should make us tremble before God. What if God gives me fairness and justice? Oh my. I'm going to ask for mercy. That's why all these guys in the New Testament, when they saw Jesus come by, they said, Lord, have mercy on me. They cried out for that. And so God, in his goodness, chooses, and we don't know why, blesses Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. He says, now you, the other three, I'm gonna honor myself by giving you justice. And justice is a good and right and true thing. We're glad that God is just. You know, in closing, very sobering truth. God is honored by his wrath, just like he's honored by his mercy. That is, God is honored by how he handled, you know, rebellion, as much as he is honored by the mercy and grace he shows. Jonathan Edwards said, the mercy of God and the wrath of God are both unspeakable. It makes us stop and say, God is God. In my present life and my eternity, I want them in his hands. You know, it's an expression of faith and trust. And so God invites us to trust him and not push him away. At the end of chapter 9, pretty much says this. If God hadn't left a few descendants, or if our salvation were just in our hands, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah under God's judgment. Can't do it without God reaching out to us first, grabbing us to himself, and carrying us to heaven. You know, we put our trust there. And later in the passage he says that those who put their trust in Christ will not be disappointed or not be ashamed. And would you put your salvation in the goodness of God? The old illustration, which I like in closing, is that, you know, picture yourself going to heaven through Jesus alone. And at the gate of heaven is the Bible verse, whoever would believe in Christ would not perish, but have everlasting life. And you say, that's been the theme of my life. I love that. I enjoy that. This is what my heart was all about. And you go through the gate, and then you look back on the gate, and it says, hey, chosen by God before the foundation of the world. That's Moses. No, that's Ephesians, rather. Ephesians chapter 1. Chosen by God before the foundation of the world. And you're there. I don't know which side I like better. I kind of live on the side where it says, whoever believes in Christ, find, you know. But this other thing, who needs that, you know. But the point is, we don't get the good news of Jesus unless before the foundation of the world, God says, I'm sending them to these people. And I'm going to have mercy on these folks. And we could say, I like that truth as much as I like the first truth. Because it honors God and it gives him a great glory for his salvation. So we know we can trust him. Time is in his hands, beginning and the end. And as the choir sang, dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Okay. when the big storm was happening and the tussling between Jacob and Esau, the big storm between Moses and Pharaoh, God was getting his honor through that. And you might say, well, why would Jesus save me? He saves us because of the obedience of his Son. Honor Jesus with your trust in him. And thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, the parts we don't understand. We trust you. The parts we could see a bit of your work, we say this is, we probably should sing because we don't have much to say about what God does and his work from all eternity. So we trust you. We're glad for your activity. We pray for a faith that's not so man-centered, but more work of God-centered. And we would find great rest for our soul in this. We thank you so much. Bless each one here. Might there be each one cry out and say, oh, I do believe in Christ. I'm trusting in the mercy of God alone to save me. Bless each one, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. I'm going to pray.